I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Just ahead, four attractive young people, a camera crew, a luxury RV. Yes, it's a reality show, but with a twist. Four young Arabs go on a road trip to discover America. We'll tell you what they found out. And our series on investing continues. But first, the longest-running presidential primary in memory comes to an end, and it's official. Senator Barack Obama is the presumptive Democratic nominee, becoming the first African-American to win a major party nomination. His presumed Republican opponent, Senator John McCain, wasted no time in taking up the fight. He gave a speech that took aim at Obama's experience and philosophy. Meanwhile, Obama's erstwhile opponent, Senator Hillary Clinton, refused to concede. Here to give us a bit of perspective on it all are the two women we've been turning to throughout the last few months, Sarah Taylor, a Republican strategist, former director of political affairs for President Bush, and Stephanie Cutter, Democratic strategist and communications director for Senator John Kerry's 2004 White House run. Welcome back to you both.
Welcome. Thank you.
Good to be here.
Stephanie, let me start with you because this was a Democratic night. You've had a front row seat for a lot of big events. Watching last night, did it feel historic?
Well, you know, Michelle, it did. You know, it's hard to remember where we started just 15 months ago. Back then, nobody thought it would be possible for Barack Obama to win the party's nomination. Last night was a real turning point, not just for the Democratic Party, but for the country. And amidst the ongoing competition between Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and the jabs that went back and forth between Barack Obama and John McCain, I think it's important for everybody to realize just how historic last night was.
Sarah, what about you? I know you're not a Democrat, but...
Not a Democrat, but it was a historic night for the country. And, you know, certainly the Democrats, you have to give them credit. They're front runners and now nominee, you know, the first African-American, the first woman. And that's a good thing for the country. And we may not agree with their policies, and we'll have a passionate debate about why they're not right to lead the country. But it does show you how far America has come in the last few decades.
Stephanie, a lot of interesting symbolism all night. Obama appeared on the same stage in St. Paul, Minnesota, where John McCain will accept the Republican Party's nomination in September. What was the idea behind that, and was it a good one, in your opinion?
I think that, yes, it was a good idea. It really sets up the choice in this election, that in just a mere number of months, Republicans are going to be coming together from across the country to celebrate their nominee, John McCain. And, you know, last night, it's where our nominee was accepting finally crossed the hurdle of the number of delegates he needs to be our party's nominee. It sets up the choice. And if you look at the words in both of Barack Obama and John McCain's speeches, it really set up a generational fight. McCain kept referring to Barack Obama as his young opponent, and Barack Obama kept discussing some of the policies that have gone wrong over the past 8 years and why it's really a time for change. So I don't think the choice could become any more crystal clear between Barack Obama and John McCain, and as Sarah said, we will have a full, robust debate over the coming months, and I think both parties are anxious for it.
We'll talk about John McCain in just a minute because I want to play a little bit of his speech, but I'm going to pause on that for just a minute and talk a little bit about Senator Clinton. Let's play a short clip of what she had to say.
This has been a long campaign, and I will be making no decisions tonight. But this has always been your campaign. I hope you'll go to my website at hillaryclinton.com and share your thoughts with me and help in any way that you can.
So, Stephanie, why is she doing this? There is no way, short of lightning striking, that she can be the nominee at this point. What is the point?
Well, nobody knows exactly the point except for Hillary Clinton, but a lot of us are assuming that she's just maintaining her political leverage. What does she want out of it? It's unclear at this point. It could be the vice presidential slot. It could be retiring some of her debt. It could be having to do with some of her policy proposals. We don't really know, but it's clear that she is trying to maintain some political leverage in the waning days of the nominating contest. You know, she got tens of millions of votes. 17 million people came out and voted for her. She won a number of states. You know, she's earned the right for at least a couple more days to figure out how she wants to end this race. But I think Democrats are anxious to bring this contest to an end so that we can focus our sights on John McCain and winning the White House. And it's important for both Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and all of their supporters to end this in the right way.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News, and I'm talking politics with Democratic strategist Stephanie Cutter and Republican strategist Sarah Taylor about last night's events, Senator Barack Obama clinching the Democratic nomination and making history as the first African-American to win a major party bid. Sarah, some Democrats have been calling the an Obama-Clinton ticket a dream ticket. Do you think it is?
Well, I think that he's going to have to take a hard look at her, given how close this contest was. Depending upon how you slice the numbers, you know, she may or may not be ahead in the popular vote. There's still superdelegates who haven't yet voiced their support for a candidate.
So I'm sorry, I just only have to clarify, because we've talked so much about this. She's only ahead in the popular vote if you discount all the caucus states. So
that's right.
Which I don't know. All those people who stood in the snow in Iowa about that. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, but, she also has won very significant states that Barack Obama is going to need to win if he's going to be elected. And if you look at Pennsylvania and Ohio and Florida, even though he didn't campaign there, she did well in those states. She has a very strong and important coalition for Democrats to win, which is, working class whites who tend to be historically have been swing voters in elections. And so for any Democrat to win, they need to do well. And in a down economy, Democrats are poised to do well with that group. That's a group, though, that has supported Hillary Clinton very strongly. That's a coalition he's going to need to be able to speak to if he's going to be elected. So you can certainly make a case, if you're a Hillary Clinton supporter, as to why she makes a lot of sense for him. Only he can decide that. He's got to be comfortable with her. He's got to be able to pick up the phone and have a trusting relationship, and it's been a very bitter fight. So it strikes me this would be pretty hard to put that together.
What about from a Republican standpoint? Would you enjoy running against that ticket or not?
Well, certainly there's very few things that they don't agree on, candidly. So I think, running against the nominee is really what matters, because people are going to cast their ballot for the nominee, not the vice president. The vice president can certainly add some qualities to the ticket. But, Barack Obama, there's a lot to distinguish with between Senator McCain and Barack Obama, particularly on foreign policy, but also on domestic issues. And so, Republicans are going to have plenty to point to.
Stephanie, what about you? Dream ticket or not?
Well, if I could just go back to a couple of things that Sarah said. In terms of Barack Obama's appeal to working class voters, Barack Obama is getting the same amount, if not more, of those working class voters as any other Democratic nominee. Now, in a Democratic primary between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, the majority of them chose Hillary Clinton, but it is wrong to think that in a choice between Barack Obama and John McCain, that all of those people are going to flock to John McCain, particularly when the economy is the number one issue in the country, and 90% of the American people think the economy is going in the wrong direction. So it's just a false argument that we're hearing over and over again from Republicans that he's going to have a problem with white voters. Now, the other thing, in terms of whether a Clinton, Barack Obama ticket would be a dream ticket, it's not really comparable to tickets in the past, because we've never had someone like Hillary Clinton in the number two spot. I mean, she did get 17 million votes. She does have enormous name recognition. There are people across the country that have come out in waves to support her. So it's not comparable to vice presidential tickets in the past, because, normally those people don't have the same name recognition, and you pick them for particular political purposes, mm-hmm. like winning a particular state or balancing the ticket on a particular issue.
I do want to say I'm sorry to interrupt, Stephanie. I just wanted to save a couple minutes to talk about Senator McCain, who mm-hmm. I think, made kind of an in-your-face move last night by scheduling a big speech even before Senator Obama had taken the stage. I wanted to play a clip, but since we're sort of short on time, just wanted to ask if it was a showcase moment, but very mixed reviews today about his performance. Sarah, what did you think? Did you think that he took advantage of that opportunity?
Well, look, I think what you see is the general race has started. I mean, John McCain, significant disagreements with him, particularly in foreign policy. And, he set out right last night. we have a very short time between now and the conventions and ultimately now in November. And he's going to not waste any days in making this debate.
I know, but reading the speech is one thing and seeing it is mm-hmm. another. And a lot of people talked about his demeanor. They said his performance seemed flat in contrast to the kind of the inspirational soaring moment represented by the Democrats. That he didn't seem very energized.
I don't know that I would say he wasn't energized. I think it was probably the difference in venue. And look, this was Barack Obama's nomination moment, and he was surrounded by 15,000 people, and John McCain was in New Orleans and did a smaller event. So, you know, really what matters is the substance of what they're saying. And as Senator McCain pointed out yesterday, is he's going to draw a big contrast between, you know, being able to be a reformer and being somebody who says he's for change for the sake of change. And I think that, you know, if you look at Barack Obama's positions on meeting with terrorist nations, which is going to be a huge, huge point of contention in this debate and something that Americans, I think, really take stock in when they vote for president.
All right. To be continued. Stephanie, we only have about 30 seconds left, and I just cannot let you go without asking you, because you're joining us from North Carolina, where you've been assisting the Kennedy family in dealing with all the issues surrounding Senator Ted Kennedy's surgery. Can you just give us a brief update on how he's doing?
Oh, thanks. He's doing great. The doctors couldn't be more pleased with how the surgery went on Monday. And, you know, he's the same old Ted Kennedy and up and walking around the hospital looking to go home as soon as possible. You know, he's going to take this fight on like he's taken everything on in his life with vigor and strength. So it's great to be down here to be with him and to have worked with him, with him and to call him my friend. So it's a real honor.
All right. Well, thank you for that. Stephanie Cutter, Democratic strategist, joined us by phone from North Carolina. Sarah Taylor, Republican strategist, was kind enough to join us in our Washington studio. Ladies, once again, thank you.
Thank you.